Well, good morning again. Welcome you to this Palm Sunday. Aren't our palms beautiful? The girls did such an unbelievable job in just getting us ready for this day and getting ready for this time of communion. We're in our Easter series, and last week we talked about Jesus, His promise, and in that setting, Jesus was coming to the disciples and telling them that He was about to leave, that He was going to go to the cross, and there was a lot of panic, a lot of confusion there, and Jesus began to make these promises to them and really to us, a promise of a future, a promise of the friend of the Holy Spirit, promise of a family, to hold on to each other and to love each other. That's how people would know that we are followers of Christ, right? And today we're going to talk about His prayer. It's probably one of the most preached passages in all of the Bible, John 17. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to John 17. We'll be just kind of walking down through that passage, through His prayer. It's one of my favorite parts of the Bible because Jesus prays, and He prays for a long time, and He's praying for us, and I just love that. When I was in seminary back in, I think, 2003 or something like that, I had a pastor come in and just kind of teach on this passage. And really just kind of changed my life in that season of my life as I was trying to really understand God's call on my life and the direction of my life at that time and of Kim and our lives. I'm just so thankful for this passage of Scripture that has been recorded for us. It lets us see a little bit of our Jesus. As we talked about last week, He's there in that setting with His disciples and they're a little confused, a little panicky. And in John 16:33, we read this last week, but Jesus said, "I've told you all these things so that in me you may have peace." And then He says this, "In this world you will have trouble." Not you may have trouble. It says you will have trouble. And Jesus says, "But take heart. I have overcome the world." Jesus says, in this world, we're going to continue to experience difficulties. And even though we're making it through this COVID, through this pandemic, and all the other things that are going on in our life, we said last week, it might not be over, right? There's other things that are going to happen. We see that every day of our life. Something else comes about, and it may get worse. We don't know, right? But if you belong to Jesus Christ, you don't have to panic because you have a sure foundation in that relationship. And as I said last week, that's why I'm not afraid. That's why if you were a follower of Christ, you don't have to be afraid because we possess something that can never, ever be taken away from us. And that's our personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You and I know Him, and our eternal destiny has been secured. And so we can choose, and I want to encourage us all to do this, we can choose faith over fear every time, no matter what circumstance we go through. We can choose faith over fear and experience His peace and His presence in those moments, in those circumstances. And so the night before Jesus died, the night before He went to the cross, He prayed a prayer in which He talked about the reason He was going to do what He was about to do. He talked about the way He lived His life in that prayer. He talked to God about His love for His disciples. And He talked to God about the reason He was going to that cross. And so there in John 17, just verse 1, He said, "After Jesus said this, He looked toward heaven and prayed. He said, 'Father, the hour has come. The time has come for me to be obedient to You, Father, to go to the cross, to bring You glory through what I'm going to do there on the cross. The time, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son." Why? "That Your Son may glorify You." And He prays for the entire rest of that chapter. And this morning we're going to look at that prayer together. And as we look at that prayer, I can't think of a better way to get ready for Easter. I can't think of a better way to get your heart ready. I can't think of a better way than by looking at this prayer that Jesus prayed the night He was going to die. And in this prayer, we get to see two things, at least two things. In this prayer, the first thing we get to see is we get to see Jesus' heart. And that's why I love His prayer here. You really get to see His heart in this prayer. You see His passion. You see what's really important to Him. You see why He's going to do what He's going to do. But not only do we get to see his heart, but you and I also get to see our hope. Our hope. In this prayer, you see things that we can hope in this life. Everything that Jesus prays, you can have confidence that it's something that God is able and willing to do in our lives. Because Jesus is praying for us for these things. So each of these prayers he prayed are our hope in life. And like I said, he's really praying this not only for his disciples, for us. Look down in verse 20. Just kind of move down, bounce down, we'll come back up. But look down in verse 20. He says this, I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. That's us. That's you and me. Every one of us in this room, we are those who believed in Jesus because of the testimony down through the years of these disciples and other followers in our life. And when you look at this prayer he prayed the night before he died, when you see what's really important to him, you realize what he wants to do in our life. You realize why there is a cross. So we're going to look at this prayer this morning. We're going to look at really just the five ways that Jesus Christ is praying for you and for me. And what I love is that Romans 8 tells us that, you know, Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is right now at the right hand of the Father, the right hand of God, and he's also interceding for us right now. And so I really believe that he's continuing to pray these things for us even now. Even now, right now, Jesus is in heaven talking to God on our behalf. Even when you don't feel like praying, even when you wonder if anybody else is praying for you, Jesus Christ is interceding, is praying for you and for me. And so I'm just going to walk down through these five things and just remind us of what Jesus is praying for us for. First thing, he prays, God, give them protection. God, give them protection. Look in verse 9. He says, I pray for them, and I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name. And so that's one of the things that Jesus prayed for. God, give us protection. Verse 15, he says, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. And the evil one is Satan, right? And he's talking about keeping them safe, keeping you and I safe from Satan's power in this world. The way that Satan really wants to take people down. Jesus prays, don't take them out of the world, but keep them safe from Satan while they're in this world. And so Jesus, he doesn't pray that God will build a bubble around our lives, right? He doesn't pray that, you know, where we don't face any of the troubles that are part of this world. I mean, he told us, right? When you are in this world, you will face troubles of this world, whether it's health troubles or weather troubles, right? My kids who live in Birmingham, Alabama, and so, you know, the tornadoes were coming all around them this past week, and so they were so scared. I mean, we're going to experience that stuff in life, right? I just think about the hurricanes that we've experienced here in Lakeland. You know, I think back 2004, Charlie came through, right? And I can remember being upstairs just praying over my boys, God, you know, protect us, you know. And then Irma a few years ago, 2017, you know, trees falling all around me, God, you know. And so he doesn't put a bubble around us necessarily, but we have his presence with us. And no matter what we go through, circumstantial troubles, whether, you know, physical problems, we're going to face those things. That's what it means to really live in this world. And Jesus prays, don't take them out of the world. Don't build a bubble around their lives. But while they're in this world, help them be safe from what Satan wants to do to their lives or how he wants to mess up their lives. So this protection doesn't mean you get a perfect life. Protection doesn't mean that you'll never have any problems. It means that knowing that God is there to strengthen you and help you even in this imperfect world. He's going to be with you. His presence is going to be there. When those circumstances come, like I'm talking about, we have a choice. We can turn away from God. You know, we can get bitter. We can let our hearts turn cold. But Jesus is saying and praying, God, protect them from the evil one. He's praying that in those realities of life, that we will turn to our God, that our heart will warm to Him instead of being cold to Him. We will realize that He has a hope and an eternity in heaven that we're waiting for. That nothing is perfect in this world except for God's love for us and His grace for us. That He is preparing for us an eternity with Him. And so Jesus is praying right now for God to protect you from the evil one. He doesn't minimize the pain and the hurt that you're going through. He understands it better really than anyone. He's praying that in the midst of it, that God will help you find strength in Him. Strength that maybe you've never found before. To feel closer to Him than you ever have before. He's praying for our protection. And then he prays for our joy. Look at verse 13. He says, now I'm come to you. I told them many things while I was with them in this world, so that they would be filled with my joy. Not just joy, but His joy, right? That we may be filled with His joy. Jesus was an incredibly joyful person in His life. You know, where Jesus was, people wanted to be, right? If Jesus was in a crowd, the crowd got bigger. If Jesus was at a house, it overflowed with people. Where Jesus was, joy was. And so people flocked to be with Jesus. He was magnetic. And Jesus is praying for us. He's saying, God, I want you to give them my joy. The kind of joy that I want to be in all of my fathers. Father, would you give to everyone of my followers my joy? And so my prayer for my boys and now for my grandkids is being that they would really know the difference between happiness and joy. Because in this world, we need to know the difference, right? Happiness can only last for a moment. Sometimes we chase it after it with all of our lives and maybe never even reach it. It's kind of connected with our circumstances. But joy that will last forever, that Jesus is praying will happen in our lives, that joy, His joy, is something that we can really hold on to. That we can really grab hold of, and no matter what circumstances we are going through. I mean, Jesus certainly knew the difference. In fact, He teaches us the difference as He talks to us about how joy happens in our life. You can kind of bounce up to John chapter 16. And He says this in 20 and 21 about His joy. He says, I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn over what is going to happen to me, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will suddenly turn to wonderful joy. It will be like a woman suffering the pains of labor. When her child is born, her anguish gives way to joy because she has brought a new baby into this world. Now that picture of labor, I have to admit, I have no personal experience with labor. I mean, some of you do, but I have really no personal experience. I was in the delivery room when my two boys got born, and really the first one, I was watching it and I was helping there in that moment, and it looked like it hurt really, really, really bad. I was really, and so actually what happened is I started getting nauseated, and I started, leaning up against the wall and turning white, and the nurses began to pay more attention to me than they were to Kim, and I'm going, and Kim's kind of laying there like, hello, and so I know it was really, really, really painful, right? But that moment the baby is born, that pain turns to joy, I think. When the baby is born, the first thing the mom says to the baby isn't, why did you do this to me? I mean, she says, my boy, my girl, immediate joy. And Jesus says, that's the way it works. We don't live in a world where there's no grief, where there's no pain, no problems. Jesus says, I'll take that grief and I'll turn it to joy. That's what I can do. And that's what He was going to do for the disciples. They were going to see Jesus die on a cross, but a few days later they were going to see a resurrection. God delights enduring resurrections in our lives. We're going to talk about this next Sunday, on Easter Sunday, but let me just ask you the question today, and you can be thinking about it, you know, throughout this week. And what in your life is dead or dying? I mean, if you're here and you've given up on your dreams, or maybe your marriage is dying, or your emotions are dead, you know, think about it. What part of you is dying? And I would suggest that there are a lot of us that have an area in our life that is trying to die. And God desperately wants to resurrect that. Jesus right now in heaven is praying for your grief to turn to joy. Whatever you're facing, that grief that you're going through in your life right now, He understands it. He cares about it. He knows about it. And He's praying that grief will turn to joy. The Bible says that weeping lasts for a night, but joy comes in the morning. He's praying that that will happen in your life, in my life. Thirdly, Jesus is praying for our purity. And I'm so glad Jesus is praying for my purity in this impure world. I mean, how do you keep pure in this impure world? You know, it's kind of like you wake up in the morning, right? And you think, today I'm going to stay pure, right? I'm going to keep pure today. I'm going to keep my mind on pure things. It's like, you know, there's thousands of channels out there, right? And you're deciding, I'm going to keep my mind on the pure channel today, right? That's what I'm going to do. You know, I'm going to keep it off all those other channels. And then 5 minutes into the today, you know, you begin to think, I mean, who's holding the channel changer? You know, what is going on, right? I can't keep my mind on pure things. You walk into the office and that person who has cheated you out of a business deal or has done something in your life, and bang, you know, all of a sudden you're on the angry channel, right? And you're going, oh, yeah, you know, or then, you know, and so you try to switch it off of that, and or somebody walks by in a sexy outfit and boom, you're on the lust channel, right? Somebody has hurt you and you're on the bitter channel. And it can happen so quickly. So how do you and I keep our mind focused on pure things in an impure world? Verse 17, Jesus prays, make them pure and holy. How? Through teaching them your words of truth. Psalms 119, 9 through 11 says, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray away from your commands. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. The answer is the Bible. God's word. His word gives us the strength to keep our minds focused on the right things. In fact, listen, it's our only hope. If you're not spending time every day in God's word, you have no hope. And I don't know any other way to say that. I've shared that with you over and over again. We must be in God's Word. And since this is, you know, Holy Week and Easter is this next week, I want to kind of give you some homework, an assignment for reading the Bible, for being in God's Word this next week. What better week? What better week, Holy Week, to read the Bible this next week? What better week to read the Easter story? And the Easter story is throughout the book of John. And so I want to encourage you over the next 7 days to read John 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20. A chapter a day. And as you do that, you will have read the Easter story. What better time to read the story of what God did for us? You'll read the story of what happened the night before Easter. What happened when Jesus died for us on the cross, and the story of the resurrection this next week. And that's how you begin to focus on pure things. That's how you begin to stay focused on the pure in an impure world. You see, purity comes from, not from the outside in, it comes from the inside out. I don't know if you've ever read this about this group of teachers in Jesus' day. These Pharisees believe this. They believe that if they closed their eyes to the thing of this world that were around them, that they would have pure hearts. And they would literally, as they were walking down the street, this group of Pharisees would literally close their eyes, and you know, so that, you know, nothing impure would come across their eyesight. And the guys eventually got a nickname, and their nickname was the black and blue Pharisees, because they would run into walls and posts and things because they had their eyes closed. That was their spirituality. And have you ever noticed that you can think impure thoughts even with your eyes closed? You see, it's not a matter of closing your eyes to the things of this world. It's a matter of opening your eyes to the things of God. That's what focuses your heart in a different direction. And so I can't blame the world for my impure thoughts. I mean, it doesn't come from the outside. I can't say it's the days we live in, it's the movies, it's all these things. It comes from my heart. It's my choice. It's my choice if I choose to watch those things or look at those things that create impure thoughts. It comes from the inside out, not the outside in. And Jesus right now is praying for us to have pure hearts in this impure world. And then he prays for unity. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and I told you that, you know, this was going to be part of Jesus' prayer to us, for us. Jesus prays for us to have relationships that are marked by unity. And as he prays, he kind of sets the bar extremely high. Listen, in verse 21, he says, I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. Jesus says, the kind of relationship, God, that I have with you, I'd like them to have that kind of unity. And you've got to admit, the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, is a pretty tight-knit small group, right? I mean, it's a pretty strong small group. I mean, they've been together a long time, and they are sticking together, right? And what Jesus prays, he says, give them that. Give them that kind of unity. I don't know about you, but that kind of does something to me when I hear that. The minute I hear that, I begin to think, I can't do that. I mean, how can I be unified with another person like Jesus is unified with the Father? And if you're thinking that way, I think that's exactly like Jesus wants us to think. Because we're realizing that we can't do it in our own strength. I do not have the strength to love another person the way God can love another person through me. If we're going to love in this kind of way, if we're going to have this kind of unity that Jesus is praying for, the only way we can have it is to lean on the strength and the love of Jesus Christ. That's where it comes from. Only God can work that kind of love. And so I still find myself going, sometimes people are unlovable, God. Sometimes people are unlovable. In Romans 15:5, Paul says, may God, who gives this endurance and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other as is fitting for the followers of Christ Jesus. And so if you're going to love people, it's going to take endurance. You and I are going to have to keep on keeping on. We're doing everything we can to continue to endure in loving others. But we're also going to need encouragement. And that encouragement to love others comes from God's love for us. When you realize how much God loves you, it gives you the encouragement to love others in that same way. Notice the last words of that verse. It says, followers of Christ Jesus. That's what creates unity. When we follow Him together, when we're all following the same person, you have unity. If you can get a group of seven-year-olds to play follow the leader, even for 5 minutes, for those 5 minutes, they're unified. They're doing all the same thing and all at the same time because they're following one leader. And when you and I begin to follow Jesus Christ together, that's where unity comes from. Maybe some of you are shared this in your marriage counseling or maybe even at your wedding where, the pastor talked about marriage, the marriage relationship. It's like a triangle, right? And, it's like a triangle and the husband and the wife are on the bottom there, and And he just says, you know, but there's a third person in that relationship, and that's God, and he's at the top of the triangle. And he says, if you really, you know, want unity in your marriage, right, it's very difficult. There's a lot of obstacles between you and your wife that come into play, right? The things that you've done in your past, the words that you said just the day before, your different personalities, a lot of obstacles. But if you and your wife, you and your spouse will begin to move closer to God, if you'll begin to pursue God more and more in your life, you'll become closer to each other. There'll be a unity there, a closeness in relationship with one another and with your God. God's removed all those barriers between us and Him. Ephesians 2:14 says it this way, "For Christ Himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in His own body on the cross He broke down the wall of hostility that separates us." That's why Easter. That's why the cross. He removed those barriers. And as you follow Him, you get closer to each other. That's where the unity that He's talking about here comes from in every one of our lives. And Jesus right now is praying for unity in our relationships. And so if you have a relationship you're struggling with, someone that's close to you or someone that's far away, whoever it is, Jesus is praying for unity in that relationship. And we need to be one. We need to be unified together in order to fulfill what Jesus is praying for here in the last one. And that's a mission that He's called us to. John 17:18 says, "As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. In the same way that you gave me a mission, God, in the world, I'm giving them a mission in this world." That's what He wants from every one of our lives. He tells us just a few verses later exactly what the result of that mission He wants to give us is. He says in verse 23, "I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." That's our mission. Jesus says, "I want you to go out into the world. I want you to let people know that I was sent into this world so that people would know how much I love them." 6 times in this prayer, Jesus prays, "I want the world to know that I was sent by God." And why is that so important to Jesus? Here's what I think. It's because He knows if He can get us to stop to see that truth, that we'll know beyond a shadow of a doubt, God loves me. He loves me enough to come to this earth to die on a cross for me. Jesus wants the world to know that. How do you know that God loves you? You look at the cross. You look at the cross of Jesus Christ. I mean, just think of the humility it took for Jesus to come to this earth and die on a cross for us. Jesus, who shoulders the weight of the universe, was willing to come to this earth and put a cross on His shoulder, to stumble underneath it. Yeah, that way, Jesus, who could hold the stars in His hand, was willing to come to earth and was willing to sweat drops like blood and face the reality of the cross. Matthew gives us a picture of that. Matthew 27:27-31, it says, "Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around Him. They stripped Him and put a scarlet robe on Him and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on His head. They put a staff in His right hand and then they knelt in front of Him and mocked Him. 'Hail, King of the Jews,' they said. They spit on Him and took the staff and struck Him on the head again and again. And after they had mocked Him, they took off the robe and put His own clothes on Him. Then they led Him away to crucify Him." Why did Jesus let that happen? I mean, He could have stopped that in any moment. I mean, He's God in human flesh. He could have stopped it at any moment. Why did He let that happen? Because He loves you. More than any of us will ever imagine, He loves us. Every person you meet, every face that you look into, He loves them just as much. That's why a cross. Because God wanted to shout in a way that none of us could miss I love you. I care about you. I care about what you're going through. And that's our mission, to share that good news with those around us, to tell them that God sent His Son Jesus to live here on this earth and to go to the cross so that we could be forgiven. Listen, this next week is we celebrate Easter. And so I have two questions for you as we get ready to celebrate Easter. One, are you ready to celebrate? Have you accepted the gift of God's love? How do you do that? By simply telling Him. It's a relationship. You talk to Him. You acknowledge that you're a sinner and you need a Savior. You believe that Jesus came and died on the cross to pay for your sins, for your forgiveness. You commit to Him and say, I want to have a relationship with you. You tell Him. That's why He came. And if you haven't accepted that gift, I want to give you the opportunity to do that in prayer in just a moment, to say, I want that relationship with my God. That's why Jesus came. If you've already accepted the gift of Christ's love, here's the second question. Who are you sharing the gift with? Who are you telling this great good news that God loves them that much? When Jesus prayed, He did not pray that people would figure out on their own that God sent Him into this world. He prayed, God, give them a mission. All those who already believe in Me, give them a mission. And then send them out into this world so that people will know that I have been sent into this world. And so if you've got a friend that you love, somebody in your family, and you're praying, God, help them figure out, figure it out somehow. God is praying, be sent out. You go tell them. That's God's plan. That's the good news. And He wants us to share that. That's how it happens. That's what God wants to do in people's lives. That's our mission. That's our mission. And so as Jesus prays for us, as He prays for our protection, as He prays for us to have His joy, as He prays for us to be a people of purity, as He prays for us to be one so that we together can go out and fulfill His mission here in this place that He has called us to, are we ready to do that? Are we ready to allow His prayer to be fulfilled in our lives? And so as we come to this table this morning, I want you to come knowing that Jesus is praying for you right now. And this is a very powerful thing that we're about to do, a very, very powerful time. As we come to this table, it gives us opportunity to do at least three things. We have opportunity to look back, right, and be reminded of what God did for us through the sacrificial gift of His Son. To be reminded that Jesus did go all the way to the cross so that you and I could be forgiven. Just be reminded of how God demonstrated that love to us, that even though we're sinners, Christ died for us so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be in relationship with Him. But it's also, as we come through this table, it's also a time where we can begin to look within. Not only to look back, but to look within each one of us. A time for us to evaluate our hearts, to make sure that our relationship is where it needs to be in relationship with our God. And for some of you, this might be a time, a space for you that have never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've never said yes to Him. This is that opportunity to look within and say, that's what God is calling me to. And you have that opportunity here in this space before we come to this table to acknowledge that you are a sinner and that you need a Savior. And really begin to believe that Jesus was sent by God to pay the penalty of your sins. He went all the way to the cross for you. And just commit your life to Him. To personally commit to Him and say, yes, I want to receive that mercy and that forgiveness and that grace. Come in, God. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. You know, for us that already know Him in that personal way, it's also a time for us to look within our own hearts as we come to this table to make sure that we are in right relationship with our God. That if there's any sin that is separating us from our God, that right now we confess those to Him. We surrender every area of our life to Him and go all in our relationship with Him. To really evaluate our heart and our relationship with Him here in this moment as we come to this table. So we look back and are reminded and we look within and evaluate our own hearts, but also we look forward. We all understand that Jesus is going to come back one day. We're going to join Him, if we're followers of Christ, there in that place called heaven, at that great big banquet table where we will see Jesus face to face. And that's our hope. That's the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. That's the hope that we have because of His willingness to go to the cross for you and for me. So as we come to this table, will you look back? Will you look within? And with it, will you look forward? I'm going to pray for us and then give you opportunity when you feel ready to go to the table, to go to whatever table's closest to you. And the elements will be just in one cup, two cups actually, but they'll be together. So take both and then go back to your chairs, and then we will receive them together, all together at one time. And if you're joining with us online, you know, go get your crackers and your juice right now and make sure that you're a part of this communion time with us. So let's begin to prepare. Let's understand that even now Jesus is praying for us. And as He prays for us, let's you and I evaluate our own hearts and respond to His Spirit's call as we prepare for this table. Pray with me, please. Father, we know that You are here. We know that You are with us. Jesus, we are so thankful that You are praying for us, that You are interceding on our behalf. So God, as we prepare to come to this table this morning, and God, will You begin to give us those things that Jesus is praying for? Will You bring Your protection into our lives and into our relationships? God, would You bring Your joy no matter what we're going through, a joy that passes anything that we can understand, a joy no matter what circumstances we're going through, Father, that is Your joy. God, would You help us to be and to make sure that we're a people of purity, that even right now as we come to this table, God, we can cry out to You. We can confess to You those things that we know that we're struggling with, those sins in our lives that we know that are separating us from You, oh God, and all that You want for us. And so even now, God, hear our prayers, hear our confession. Forgive us. Bring Your purity into our hearts and souls and lives again. And oh God, we do want to be one as the followers of Christ. So God, help us to be united. Not for our own good, Father, but for Your glory. So that as we step out on mission for You, that people would see that there's an authenticity there. But they would see that unity of the body of Christ. And God, we'd be able to share the good news with them. And they would understand and they would desire it, Father. I want to receive it. So God, even now in this place, hear our prayers. Prayers to accept You as our Lord and Savior for the very first time. Prayers to surrender all to You. Prepare our hearts for Easter. Prepare our hearts as we come to this table. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.